Music has a very prominent part in the worship of the Church of the Firstborn Ones. In fact, all biblical times in this Bible are marked with song. It has played a great and influential part in the believers in the Son of God. Our blessed Lord sang. You say, where do you read that? Well, upon him was the dark shadow of Calvary. He was in the upper room and he sang. I'd love to have heard the Lord singing. He's the greatest of all persons. He's the greatest of all masters. He's the greatest of all kings. But to hear Christ sing, upon him was the darkness of Golgotha. He was not going to the choir practice. He was going to the cross, and yet he sang. How wonderful. What is the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms is the hymn book of the disciples of both the Old and New Testaments. It is interesting to note how Christ sang before he went to the cross. And before he named Judas as the one who would betray him. It was customary at the Passover feast, which is different from the Passover itself, because in the Passover feast, they sat. They never sat at the Passover itself. They all stood. But they were all sitting. And the Lord said, we are going to sing. And if you turn over in your Bible to Psalm 115, you'll find out the psalm that they sung. It was called in David's Psalms. It was called the Great Hallelujah, and it covered Psalm 115, Psalm 116, Psalm 117, and Psalm 118. Think of it. They didn't cut the hymn short. They sang those four great psalms, which are in the song book of the Bible, the Psalter, the Great Hallelujah. Of course, when you pick up your Bible and look at the Bible and listen to it, you'll find many songs. Moses, after he went through the Red Sea dry shod, Exodus 15:1-2, he sang. What a song he sang. David on the death of Saul and Jonathan and Abner, he sang a song. Jeremiah's book is a book of lamentations, which are one complete song. When he deplores the calamities and ruin that had come upon Jerusalem, and then he made another song of when Josiah, the king of Judah, died. Deborah and Barak sang a duet in Judges 5 and verse 1. What is the Song of Solomon? The Canticles, as it's called. It's the song that celebrates the bride, which is the church, and the bridegroom, which is Christ. You remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel and King Hezekiah, both returned to sing songs. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 38. The songs of the Virgin Mary. The song of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And the oldest man in the Bible who ever sung was old man Simeon. An old man who opened his mouth to the Lord. And of course, there are all sorts of thanksgiving in this Bible for the blessings we have received from the Lord. But the interesting thing about these songs was this. They were all new songs. When Christ puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, says the Bible. Can you see a hymn? Can you see a song? You just think about that. And fear and trust in the Lord. Why? Because he put a new song in my mouth. The world has its song. They soon weary. The passing of the years and the decades of time take them to their own funeral. But we have a song, praise God, that never grows old. And when 10,000 million years are passed in heaven, this song will be as new as ever. 'Tis old yet ever new. 'Tis old and I know it's true. What a song it is. In Revelation 5:9, we read, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Isn't it interesting that the song that they sing in heaven is a celebration of the book? We're celebrating the English book that we've got, that the martyrs paid their blood to see that we got it. What a book it is. But what a scene there will be in heaven when the seals of the book are opened and the whole of heaven and its millions and trillions and billions, they will all shout, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. The heart of the gospel is the cross. And thank God, not only the heart of the gospel is at the cross, but it's about the precious blood of the Lamb. They sung, as it were, a new song before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. What a song this is. Specially written by Christ for his blood-washed church to sing it. And the blood-washed church are undefiled believers, virgins in the sight of God, redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And is in their mouth there is no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Think of it. You will stand without fault, cleared by God's law, washed in the Savior's blood, whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter snow. There's a great Scots preacher, James Stocker, and he said this, "This song is a very wonderful song. It is the sweetest that has ever been heard in this world. You may have seen crowds of people flocking to a concert room to hear a famous singer. But when anyone is singing this new song, though it be but a little child, there are angels listening. And even God himself bends down to hear the little boy, the little girl, singing the song of the gospel. It is easy to sing it. It does not, like French or Italian songs, require learning to read the words. It doesn't even require a fine voice, for even the aged and dying can sing it. Yet it is so peculiar that a singer with the finest voice in the world and the most perfect musical training may not be able to sing a note of it." Notice what is said about this song. It is the new song. Why is it new? Because it never grows old. Ah, good singing comes from the heart. It is born in the soul. It's not the lips that make it new. It's not the time which makes it new. It's not the power of the singer that makes it new. No, it is none of those things. It is the operation of God Almighty in our innermost soul. I look back to a day I was only a lad of 6. You say, what does a lad of 6 know? I learned the secret. I left that old church in Hill Street, Ballymena, that day, a lad of 6, and I was singing. I didn't know whether it was in tune or out of tune or no tune at all, but I was singing. What had happened? As a little fellow, I called on Christ to save me, and he did it. And I think over my past, and I think of all the tight places I have been in, and all the tough things that I had to face, but I could still sing. The hymn never alters. It's undefinable. And the first time you sang it perfectly. And the second time, it was still perfect. And the third time, it's still. And when you have sung this song, dear blood-washed child of God in heaven, for millenniums of time, it'll still be as sweet as ever. And it will be as new as ever. Because it has upon it the life of God that never grows old. You see, this new song comes from a new heart. Comes from a new soul. Comes from a new being. You have been born again. It is a manifestation of the miracle of salvation in your inmost soul. You join the choir. Everybody has to join the choir when they get saved to sing the new song. And how that new song fills you through and through. You cannot join the choir. It's the new song coming into your heart puts you into the choir. The old heart that we had could never sing this new song. Only a saved heart can really sing the song of salvation that we have experienced. First things first. How important is God's order in God's sound? The other day I picked up a second-hand book in a second-hand bookstore. If you want to find me, you'll find me there very often. It was a book by Horatius Bonner. The Bonner family were a great family. Their father was a minister, and he had three sons, and all the three sons became mighty men of God. But I think the greatest of them was Horatius. He wrote many hymns, but he wrote a hymn upon the divine order. It runs like this: 'tis first the true, and then the beautiful. Not first the beautiful, and then the true. First the wild moor with rock and reed and pool, then the gay garden, rich in scent and hue. 'Tis first the good, and then the beautiful. Not first the beautiful, and then the good. First the rough seed, sown in the rough soil, then the flower blossom, or the branching wood. Not first the glad and then the sorrowful, but first the sorrowful and then the glad. Tears for a day, for the earth of tears is full. Then we forget that one day we'll never be sad again. It is not first the night, the bright, and God saw, after that the dark. But it is first the dark, and then after that the bright. First the thick cloud, and then the rainbow's arch. First the dark grave, then resurrection light. 'Tis first the night, stern night of storm and war, long night of heavy clouds and veiled skies. Then the far sparkle of the morning star that bids the saints awake and dawn arise. I'm waiting for the morning dawn to sing that song the way it has to be sung in the courts of the King. That new song comes from a new heart. The new heart is a singing heart. What a joy is ours, and what a thrill to sing the power of God. What a thrill to take the holy words of the Holy Ghost from the Holy Bible. The words may be 1,000, more than 1,000 years old, but the truth is the same. It never grows old. It cannot be destroyed. The new heart is always singing, and it will sing forever. I ask you today, my hearer, can you sing this song? Are you in God's choir, singing with the unity of the Godhead? What must it have been like to see our Lord singing? I'd love to have entered that upper room, and the choir master was the Lord himself. In a few hours, his body would be torn on the cross. His hand, so beautiful on the table, would be marred with the nail that was driven through them by evil man. 'Twas you, my sins, my cruel sins, his chief tormentors were. Each of my crimes became a nail, an unbelief, the spear. Help me to understand it. O Lord, help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Why is it called the new song? Because, thank God, we're walking a new way. We're all on the road to the great eternity. If we continue the way to which we were born, the end will be the blackness of darkness forevermore. But Christ shed his blood. He died the death to make a new way, a way to God's heaven. He himself is the way. I am the way. Those who are on that way sing as they go. Every step in it leads you farther from hell. Thank God, and nearer to heaven. I'm getting nearer, nearer every day. Every day, praise the Lord, I'm getting nearer. And the way, praise the Lord, is getting clearer. From my Lord, no more I roam. I see the lights of home. I am getting nearer, nearer every day. With the great poet Alexander Pope, don't worry, he was no relation of the Pope of Rome, we can repeat it. What did he say? O death, where is thy sting? Vital spark of heavenly flame. Quit, oh quit, this mortal frame, trembling, hoping, lingering, flying. Oh, the pain, but bliss of dying. Cease, fond nature, cease thy strife, and let me languish into life. The world recedes, it disappears. Heaven opens on my eyes. My ears with sounds hear the seraphs ring. Lend, lend your wings, I mount, I fly. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? An old Scotch preacher once prayed it with his young people thus. Would you not like my children to walk along the new way and have the heart that always sings? It is always a new song it is singing, the song of love, the song of deliverance. It never grows old, for the love and the joy of the new heart cannot grow old. New mercies come to the traveller as he marches along. These add a new verse to the song. I dare say there are many of the psalms and hymns you learn which you do not yet understand. It is because you're not far enough up in the way yet. But as you climb higher, the tune will become sweeter. As you sing, your heart will be caught up in beautiful joy. And when you are called from this scene of time to join the choir in heaven, that will be the best of all. Please notice as I come to a conclusion that this song is a new song. For it's the song of a new home. Home is a place of songs. How the atmosphere changes in our homes when the house filled with loved ones starts singing. Remember, if you don't learn the new song now, you'll never sing it in the eternal home of heaven. Long ago, there was a great happening in heaven. It only happened once, and it'll never happen again. The gates of heaven swung open, and one man stepped in. There was no human beings in heaven then. Just one man entering the gate, and he was singing. His name was Abel. Before Abel got to heaven, there was no human beings there. But that day the millions and trillions of angels all stood in perfect silence as this man, the first man ever to make heaven, this man who came with the blood of the sacrifice that speaketh better things than that of his own sacrifice. And as he approached the mighty throne of the everlasting God, you know what happened? God the Son rose from his throne and he went down and he put his arms around him and he said, Abel, you're welcome home. And they both sang a duet of joy. And then Christ introduced him to his Father, to the Holy Spirit, and to all the angels. What a reception. Why did Abel make it? Because he had learned the new song by receiving a new heart through the blood of the Lamb. And his voice was filled, and he was singing. How could he sing like this? Simply because he had received the forgiveness of sins and given his new heart to God. Have you got this song in your heart today? If you haven't, I would plead with you as the Lord's messenger. Call upon him while he is near. When my heart is sad with life's cares and toils, I will hush my troubled spirit's anxious cry. For the day is coming fast when my cares shall all be past. I will see him. I will see him by and by. I shall see him, my Redeemer. Oh, my heart, be brave, be strong. I shall see him. I shall praise him with an everlasting song. Make sure you learn that song. For only singing Christian get through the great city's gates of the New Jerusalem. They sung a new song. Let's bow our heads. Father, bless thy holy and simple word. Supply it to our hearts today. May no person here be a songless person. May we all know the song of Moses and of the Lamb for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen. Amen.